Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 58. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
Josh.
And joining us this week via Skype,
Ethan.
Yay!
Hey. Ethan! Woo! Our north of the border correspondent.
Woo.
And compadre, yes.
Yes.
So, shall we just talk about what we've seen over the past 2 weeks? It's really messed up. Last week, we got, like, blizzarded out.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be a tenth of an inch of snow, and opened the window, and oh, look, there's 6 inches on the ground. This week, it's like 60.
Yes.
Yeah, gotta love it here. Okay, so who wants to kick it off? I'll let Ethan. We can just do one at a time. You don't have to go through the whole thing at once if you don't want
to. Okay, I've been watching the second season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And?
It's really good. It's way better than the first, I think. And I like the first, but it's just, I think, when it focuses less on Monster of the Week and goes more towards kind of, the reoccurring characters like Spike and the such, it's just so good, I find.
I've always wanted to get into the series. Would you? But I've just been hesitant because of, like, there's like 7 seasons.
You can pick up all 7 seasons for like $85 on Amazon right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really cheap.
Is it the chosen collection?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
I'm not a fan, but a lot of people are.
You just borrowed from your classmate Marshall. You know,
he owns
all of them. Plus, like, has them all signed by Sarah Michelle Gellar. So,
yeah.
Okay, then. I guess I'll go next. My wife and I just finished the 3rd season of Doctor Who last night, and it just about ruined the entire series for me.
Oh, no.
The ending got so incredibly stupid.
We're talking original series or new series?
The new series.
This is the
new 3rd season with David Tennant. I love David Tennant as the Doctor, but we're talking like Neo at the end of Matrix Revolutions levels of stupid.
Hmm.
And then they pulled this little drop of a hat of a little, it's a throwaway line out of nowhere, and it brought me back in. That was just so incredibly cool in this scope over the past 3 seasons. So
wait, one line like brought you back in?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. I'm not like,
I was like, just kidding, we meant it to be this bad.
No, the ending sucked. Yeah. But there's this little drop of a line, and it's a throwaway thing out of nowhere that brings reference of one character and who his true identity is. It was really cool. It was really funny.
Okay.
It's not a, oh shit, I got blood on me, is it?
No.
I got brain splattered on me.
Brains, yeah. Okay.
That's the closing line of Punisher Warzone.
Okay. Yeah. Really?
Yep. I'm not kidding. Yep.
Sorry, I just had to ask.
I appreciate you bringing that up.
Using like death metal song over the end credits or something?
Yes.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll get to the Punisher.
Well, shit, boy.
Please don't make fun of me, you guys, but the Britney documentary that was on MTV on Sunday was amazing.
Really? You expect us not to make fun of you for that?
Hang on. Because I know Barry wants to see it.
I will watch it.
I don't know if that's because of your wife. But I don't know what to expect. I've always been like a secret closet Britney fan, but I haven't told anyone. Except for everyone that's listening now. But I've kind of kept my mouth shut over her crazy stuff that she's been doing, and I was, but the documentary was actually really, really well done, and it was negative on the paparazzi, but not like overly so, like the South Park episode that came out this year. But it was actually really informative and really good, and I would highly actually recommend watching it. So, yep.
Barry.
Okay.
I saw Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Show, which I thought was a total pleasure. I really enjoyed
it.
I finally got to see it.
It got kind of boring after the first half hour, but the bit with Justin Long was awesome.
I dug it because it's the nature of comedy, about how some stuff works, some stuff doesn't work. I thought all of them were very engaging comics. I liked it a lot more than you did.
I loved when Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley did the reading of the After School Special. That was freaking hilarious.
Yeah. I didn't mind that there wasn't, obviously I think it would be great if there was more footage of the show, inevitably. But I thought it was a great documentary. It reminded me a lot of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedian in that sense. It was kind of like on the nature of comedy, how stuff works, how these comedians are kind of depressed guys who like basically they live for their 15 minutes of showtime. And I really liked it.
Cool. Ethan, back to you.
Oh, okay. I was browsing television last night and I saw Constantine was on and I decided to watch it. And it's a really I enjoyed when I saw it in the theater, like it was like 4 years ago, right?
Yeah about that. Mm-hmm.
But watching it again, it's a really bad movie.
Yeah,
it's not even really a movie, it's more just kind of a series of special effects sequences kind of drawn together by bad exposition and Keanu Reeves trying hard to be a smart ass. It's kind of...
Well, especially considering the character's essentially Daniel Craig. That's who the character is.
Yeah.
So when I think British blonde guy who with a husky voice who's dying of lung cancer, I think Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
The script has some moments that are kind of fun. I love the moment where he is in the cafe and he sees a spider crawl across the table, so he blows smoke in the spider and puts a glass over him. He's like, "Welcome to my world." Like there's some stuff that you get the sense the movie could possibly work, but again, yeah, the miscasting is wrong. And the script is just so cheeseball. I mean, at the beginning of the exorcism scene where he jumps on the demon and is like, "Hey jerk, it's Constantine."
Yeah,
Shia LaBeouf is like trying to copy him throughout the.
LaBeouf is exceptionally bad in that movie.
You guys see the alternate ending with like Shia LaBeouf as an angel at the end?
No.
Like, yeah. Oh, it's bad. Constantine like goes to the grave to like mourn Shia, and Shia's like got angel wings and like flies away.
Oh man!
Did someone ring a bell first?
I don't.
Sorry, it's Christmas time. You got to make
it right.
Every time the bell.
Okay.
Awful.
Barry took the bullet for the team, but I had to see if it was true. Twilight. Oh my gosh. It is this, you know, last year we talked about how great The Marine was because of how goofy
that
it is.
That is an American classic, Dave.
Okay? It is. No. Here's the thing. If The Marine had gone wrong, we would have gotten something like Twilight. Because Twilight is so laugh out loud bad.
I didn't watch it, but I heard the audio when in a chat room when someone was watching it and making comments to it as they watched it. So,
oh, it, dude! Like, if you want to watch, like, get a bunch of friends together to watch a really bad movie, this is a good choice. It really is.
There's a line. I had an adrenaline rush. Google it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I still can't get over the fact that he's sitting there watching her sleep. She wakes up. What are you doing? I just wanted to watch you sleep. And that's romantic.
Yeah.
For most people, soon after there is the restraining order. Just saying. Yeah.
Well, you know, he sparkles, so.
No. Mm. Ugh. Okay.
Did we get a chance to talk about Bolt, Barry, on this podcast?
Did we?
It was awesome.
Yeah, I love Bolt. Love that movie. Yeah.
For all your negative things that you have to say about it, it's awesome.
No, I've heard of that. I've heard a lot of good things. I will see it at some point.
Definitely. Didn't you love the little hamster in the ball?
Yeah, I loved everything about it. It was the opening action scene.
The opening
was awesome.
One of the best action scenes of the year. Yeah,
it's incredible. So, yeah, I would highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I love the cat.
Mittens.
Mittens, yes. Mittens is great, yeah.
Who did her voice?
It's an unknown. She and the hamster are unknowns. They actually wanted to get...
I haven't seen the movie, but didn't Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm voice?
Yes,
that?
You're right, Essman. That's right.
Oh, okay, from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because she did awesome. She was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really like Travolta as Bolt.
Oh, you didn't?
I thought it was kind of weird because I was picturing John Travolta and not.
Oh my god!
Yeah, come out the closet. Oh my god! So, but it was awesome. So.
Cool. Okay. I'll just let you finish off whatever you got, Ethan.
I also watched Bananas.
Oh, the Woody Allen film.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really like it. I love Woody Allen. Just this wasn't very funny. It has too much physical humor and not enough of his verbal wit, and it's just kind of disappointing. But
Yeah. Although, where else can you see Sylvester Stallone mugging Woody Allen?
Yeah, I know. That was like, whoa. He's not even credited in it. But, yeah.
Ethan, have you seen The New World?
Yeah.
You have? Did you like it?
It was like the most boring movie I've ever watched.
Okay.
Josh is like, exactly.
No, we had to watch it in Barry's class this week. And I appreciated it, but I can't say I liked it.
Well, I loved like Terrence Malick, but I did not like The New World. I just
Fair enough.
I wish, like I said, at Speed Racer, I wish I was high when I watched it. But.
So you wish the same for The New World?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to touch that.
All right, then. Have you got anything else, sir? Is that pretty much it?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. I saw two more movies. Three. Actually, two movies. And I was working at the game store yesterday, so I started watching season 3 of South Park.
Oh, okay. That's a good season.
So yes. I saw the Rainforest episode, Getting Gay with Kids.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then what's the second episode?
It's not the Jack Officers, is it?
No, that's the third episode. Okay. So I only watched the first two episodes. The second one was where they crucified Cartman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they just leave him up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
So wrong.
Have you seen the Jack Officers one?
No.
Oh, it's imagine like Jar Jar Binks, but like eight of them, and they have like a reality TV show.
Oh, God.
Like that's basically what it is.
Okay, then.
It's terrible.
All right. And then I saw Sukiyaki Western Django, which is a blast. Everyone I've talked to who didn't like it, specifically Andrew over at G-Man Reviews, he didn't like it, but he's seen the original cut, which was, like, I guess, about 20 minutes longer. And the version that's been released, at least in the U.S., I don't know if it's North America, period, but the version I got at Best Buy was cut by Miyake, and it was really fun. It's a blast.
Does Tarantino have anything to do with that?
Yeah, he's in it, and he's annoying as hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone. It's all in English, but it's a bunch of Japanese actors doing it phonetically, so they don't actually know what they're saying.
Oh,
but like Jackie Chan.
Yeah, it's a lot better than that sounds. And then I saw the documentary Lake of Fire, which is.
Oh yeah, that.
Have you seen it, Ethan?
No, I've heard about it. I want to see it.
It is amazing. It shows the whack jobs from both sides of the abortion debate and. As well as the actual points, it's very even-handed, which I really appreciated. It's really good, yeah. And I think that's about it. Have you got anything else, Josh? It's okay if you don't, because we're like,
yeah, no, I don't think I have. Any.
All right, cool. Let's move on to what hit theaters this week and go on from there.
Well, you have of all things, Most Deaf as Chuck Berry, and then Beyoncé Knowles as Etta James in Cadillac Records.
So she didn't do well in Dreamgirls and decided, hey, let's try if I can do this again. Or
she's a fine singer. I don't know why she has to prove she's an actress, because she's not an actress.
Wait, Dave, that was a Golden Globe nominated performance.
It was.
Did she win the Golden Globe?
You know who else was up for Golden Globe? Antonio Banderas for Zorro. He was up for Golden Globe for that movie.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along. Dum dee dum, dum dee dum.
Ray Stevenson is the Punisher in Punisher Warzone.
And just as a quick shout out, Billy Flynn over at GRD keeps thinking it's Ray Stevens for some reason.
Ah.
So then I tell him it's actually Ray Steven Seagal. So that breaks his brain completely.
There you go. Limited release, although it did come here to the Springs, Noble Son, starring Alan Rickman and Eliza Dushku. I've heard very mixed things about that. And then in limited release, Ron Howard's Frost Nixon.
Yeah, what is Noble Son about? Because
it's a kidnapping thriller, and I hear it has everything like severed thumbs, and I hear it's like really, really nasty.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
got an 8.4 on IMDb.
Hmm. Well, that
means that everything.
That means it must be amazing. I don't know. Yeah, it didn't do very well over the weekend, but it is playing here.
Yeah, okay.
Amazed we got it.
And then you saw The Punisher.
I did.
And?
It's the worst film of the year, hands down. It's a film that gives comic book movies a bad name. It is comparable to Albert Pouyan's Captain America.
That's the one that hurts.
Well, it's the truth. You'll just, you know, I would say see it to understand how bad it is, but I would not encourage anybody to see it unless they could see it for free or somebody else buys it for it. Man, it is just terrible, terrible. The performances are wretched. The special effects are a joke. The violence is silly. There's a character who is clearly meant to be, you know, the character's name is Jigsaw, and they mean him to clearly be something like a Harvey Dent kind of character, but the makeup effects are so ridiculously bad. Dominic West, as Jigsaw, gives a performance almost as bad as Ray Stevenson's, and that's saying quite a lot, because Ray Stevenson's... this is going to be the first and last time we ever see Ray Stevenson headline a movie. And that's for a good reason. You know, he may be good on TV's Rome, but as The Punisher, I mean, it's just dreadful, dreadful. I mean, this is a role that even Van Damme could have done so much more with. Yeah, it's terrible. Nothing else this year I've seen has been as bad. I would much rather see Twilight or The Happening or even Over Her Dead Body again. There's no way I'm watching The Punisher again.
But
it's the worst Punisher movie I've ever seen.
You didn't see Max Payne.
No, but it's at the Dollar Theater, so I'll see that this week, actually. So I'll come up with that comparison for you.
You just have to know how bad it is.
How bad is Punisher?
Yeah. And I kind of want to see Frost Nixon. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard very mixed things about it. But yeah, that sounded It looks good. I mean, Frank Langella is a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Skeletor!
That's right. Thank you. He played Dracula and Skeletor and Richard Nixon. The guy's amazing. He's played just about everything.
Whoa, the guy playing Nixon played Skeletor?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he played Skeletor in the Masters of the Universe movie. It was Dolph Lundgren versus Frank Langella. Yeah. But Langella's great in the He-Man movie because, like, even under all that, even that, over that silly Halloween mask, he actually gives a real performance. He's very forceful in that movie. He acts circles around, you know, Dolph Lundgren. He's wearing a Halloween mask.
Yeah, because that's hard to act.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's talk about what's hitting DVD this week.
This week in DVD, let's see. Well, you might have heard of it. The Dark Knight, the number two grossing film of all time. Let's see, it's available.
Oh, dear
Lord. Let's pull out this list here. Three-disc special edition, the widescreen one-disc edition, Blu-ray, and a full-screen one-disc. Who is going to buy the full-screen one-disc?
Well, on top of all the different gift sets that there are out there, you got the mask, you got the bat pod, you got
the clown mask gift set and the Joker statuette. Yeah, yeah. So those are the four.
Speaking of full screen, do you ever still like have trouble explaining that to people?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, especially for Christmas time. Like, I want the widescreen, and they get like I have the full screen of Ang Lee's The Hulk. It like cuts off half the action half the time,
which is barely hard to do because there's barely any action in that movie.
Oh,
dang. Don't you remember all the comic book panels in that scene?
No,
in that movie?
No,
because, like, it chops the
don't
movie.
Don't you remember
in
the Hulk poodles?
That's right.
No, I actually do like, I did like the Ang Lee Hulk. So.
But I actually have someone, I talked to someone, he has an HDTV and still buys full screen because he wants to use his entire HDTV. Because when something's in, you know, 222 format or whatever, 187 format, whatever, it still leaves black bars. And I'm like, but you're missing the movie. He's like, I'm not missing it. I don't notice it. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I have to, like, draw diagrams for people.
You've heard about the dollar bill test, though, right?
Yeah.
I did that, and he's like, I don't care. Okay, more power to you.
What's the dollar bill test?
You fold a dollar bill. So the dollar bill is essentially a 16x9 format, and you fold it. It's like, this is how much you're missing. And just didn't care. Cool. It made me sad.
Well, I had somebody display that for me when I was in high school. They showed me the original trilogy of Star Wars, and they showed me widescreen and versus full screen. And full screen, like, they're cutting off like C-3PO and R2-D2 in some scenes. Kind of important when they're, like, you know, the connecting thread between all three movies.
But, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. Also on DVD, Horton Hears a Who on Blu-ray, widescreen and full screen, one disc. Not so special edition. Lost season 4, the acclaimed documentary Man on a Wire for This is Very Good, and the I Am Legend Ultimate Collector's Edition box set.
This is the new trend now. It's holiday time. There are all these super box sets. I was at Costco today, and they had like these Uber. They had an Uber box set of The Sound of Music. They came with like a really huge hardcover book about it. It came with a 2-disc edition. It came with a soundtrack. It came with all kinds of stuff for like $30.
Hmm. Wait. So does this come to Will Smith where you push a button, you quote Shrek or something?
Actually, he quotes the Clumps.
It's funny you say that because that's the point where the movie loses me. Because until that point, I thought it was almost a 4-star movie. Like, this movie's fantastic. And then when he's not the only person in the movie, spoiler, I think the movie actually starts to really lose what's so good about it.
In a hurry.
Yeah.
In a big hurry.
Yeah, yeah. This scene where he quotes Shrek is so, so sad.
And it goes on so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Okay. Okay, shall we move on to some news? Because that just, that hurt.
Okay.
Shall we start with the They Live remake?
Gosh. This is one of my favorite movies, and they're remaking those bastards. Yeah, can't believe they're doing that.
Yeah, I love that movie, too. Are they going to, like, try to redo, like, the fight scene, or the...
Only if they do it Cripple Fight style. If they do it Cripple Fight style, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Carpenter has said in interviews that he originally meant all the scenes where Roddy Piper puts on the glasses and he sees the world in black and white. It was originally going to have some TV fuzziness to it, you know, to kind of indicate how, you know, the aliens are subliminally, you know, reaching out to people through media means. But he decided not to do that because he thought it'd be too much of an eyesore to look at. So are they going to do that? You know, are the scenes where he puts on the glasses, are they going to be in color? Are the aliens still going to look like skeletons? The movie is such a perfect time capsule for what it is, and it clearly is meant to be a total parody of the Reagan years. I don't it's not that the movie doesn't hold up and they couldn't do a remake that still makes it, you know, prevalent for our times, but why do that?
Because there's no creativity left in Hollywood.
Yeah, you're right.
Just go to the easy answer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as long as there's some things that have to be in it. They have to have the line about bubblegum.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have the god awful fight.
That's the thing, though. I mean, even the things you're putting out,
Dave.
Yeah, yeah. It's a B movie. It's meant to be a B movie. Having it like a big budget movie starring Will Smith is not going to make it a better film.
It's like remaking The Day the Earth Stood Still. Oh wait.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or remaking Death Race 2000. It's kind of like that. There's no point. It's a B-movie. It worked as a B-movie. And big-budget movies starring Jason Statham, directed by Paul Whatscript Anderson, does not make it a better film. You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Annoying.
All right. Anyone else feel free to chime in at any point you feel like it.
Do you want to talk about the Friday the 13th?
Yeah. I love the new poster. I love the new trailer. I'm excited about this. I don't know if it's going to be a great movie, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, and say what you will about Texas Chainsaw. It looked really, like, the cinematography in it was awesome. Marcus Nispel is actually good at that.
Yeah. Like I said, there are scenes in the remake of the Texas Chainsaw that I think are much better than the Tobey Hooper original. I do.
Yeah, because the girl's not screaming for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Although I never saw Pathfinder. Did you ever see that?
I did. It's a guilty pleasure. It's not great at all, but it's got some good scenes in it.
Is there like, that's about the Vikings, right?
Yeah, kind of.
It's Carl Urban.
It's mostly like a Carl Urban calendar of him, like, with his shirt off with swords. It's kind of like a girl fantasy calendar, really.
Except it was marketed to guys.
Right.
You okay over there, Ethan?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're breaking up for a bit, but I didn't actually have much to say about this.
Okay, that's right. It sounded like you're like wiping your nose with your mic
or ripping paper. Like, yeah. Like we pushed Ethan too far talking about Carl Urban.
Though, actually, I think the original Friday the 13th is a terrible, terrible movie.
Yeah. So. No, you're absolutely right. It's considered a classic horror movie, but really, it could use a remake. It really could.
Yeah. So
it's
I thought there were lesbians in the trailer. It looked like this guy and this girl were like doing it, but I was like, are those lesbians?
Sorry to disappoint you, Josh.
Josh would have jizz in his pants.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, you might as well do your story that relates to that before we started recording. You might as well just go to that story.
Wait, what story?
About a certain something coming out next June.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I can't do it. Ghostbusters video game.
Ghostbusters.
So it's the video game is like you play as like a new person, right, on the team?
No, I think you play as one of the original.
Well, all the originals are in it. They did all the voice acting. It's been complete pretty much for a while, and it got the plug pulled, and Atari's picked it up, and it's coming out in June, right, Ethan?
Yeah, I think so.
So you saw the trailer, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Any word why I had the plug pulled?
Mergers, companies going out of business, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so good.
So do you think it's going to fill the void that is people wanting the next movie, or if they don't do one, or
I think so.
They're still doing the next movie, right?
Yeah, they are.
That's right.
Aykroyd actually wrote the script for the video game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I heard they incorporated his original Ghostbusters 3 script into the video game. So the video game essentially is Ghostbusters 3.
Essentially, yeah.
Essentially.
It's something along those lines. He's heavily involved. All the voice actors are back, except for Rick Moranis. And, okay.
Why did Rick Moranis? If Bill Murray is going to do it, and Bill Murray is like the hardest cog in that machine to get moving, I can't believe Rick Moranis wouldn't do it.
Rick Moranis essentially said, I don't need the money.
Well, actually, Rick Moranis, funny enough, I actually learned this in school. This is like the only thing I learned. He actually retired after his wife died, so that's why he
had
some time. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Now I feel like a dick for picking on Rick Moranis. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of what other news.
There's the Hancock sequel.
I see. I haven't seen. Still haven't seen Hancock. So
I've got a free. I've got a free rental coupon for Hollywood Video, so I will see it at some point. Haven't gotten around to go to the store to get it. I didn't go to rent it. I went to rent something else, and they were out, and I knew the girl who was working behind the counter. I'm like, oh, you're out of Hancock? She's like, yep, let me just give you a free voucher. So, yeah.
You've seen it, though, right?
No.
I'm the only one here who's seen Hancock?
Really? Yes.
Oh, man. I've seen it.
Okay, Ethan, back me up here. This movie doesn't need a sequel, does it?
It's just terrible. So
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, when a movie is successful, why not just let the director make another movie? You don't have to make a sequel. Yeah. Just like give the people who made the movie successful do another thing. It's just a...
Yeah, they don't need a Hancock 2. I totally agree with you. I mean, this is like when they did a sequel to the Flintstones. It's like, no.
Viva Rock Vegas.
Seriously, let the Flintstones like rest in peace.
There were so many unanswered questions.
Totally. Well,
and I already know everything about the damn movie. Like, it's not going to be anything like surprising to me.
Even the video box gives it away. Like, yeah. they show Charlize Theron in the outfit, and they're like, Charlize Theron's character has a power, just like Will Smith. It's like, that's like one of the big twists in the movie. It's on the box.
Like, what? Sixth Sense, like, Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
Well, like, that was like when the Phantom Menace soundtrack came out, and it's like one of the Total tracks was what was called Qui-Gon's Funeral. That was like one of the last tracks. Like, you idiots! God! I thought that was like the first sign that the Phantom Menace wasn't going to be the movie of the decade. Like people
was there a track like Jar Jar Ruins script?
Jar Jar Ruins the movie. Wacky Jar Jar movie.
Makes me wonder, like, if in Star Trek Generations, if they had to cut the track that says Kirk got shot in the back, because that's how it was in the book.
Soren kills Kirk. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or a Crying Game.
No!
Say hello to Mr. Winky, track number 13.
She's a man, baby! Sorry.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, really? I hate those movies, too. That's the funny part. Okay.
I've got a news. I got a news tidbit. This is like just for me and like maybe two other people listening. But one of my favorite TV shows of all time, anthology horror series I grew up loving, Tales from the Dark Side, finally coming to DVD.
Is it
February 10th, 2008, season one? Yeah. Apparently, the success of the Friday the 13th series. What's that?
2009.
2009. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Next year. Of
no
course.
Problem.
In the past. No. And yeah. February 10th, 2009. Tales from the Dark Side, season one, and hopefully every season after that.
Just in time for Valentine's.
That's right. Yep.
I saw I was doing some research last night to see if Make It Happen is actually ever going to come out.
Yeah, it's on DVD now, right?
Well, it said it came out on DVD the 9th, but yet there's no price on Amazon and you can't order it. And well, the 9th, when's the 9th? Next week?
It might be a Blockbuster exclusive.
Wait, Josh, I've seen screen caps from it, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it's made, and I think it came out in England. Like, I think...
Because Entertainment Weekly listed it as coming out.
Oh, really?
Like, this new issue said that it comes out on the 9th, so, like, the same day as The Dark Knight.
Well, I'll show you after the podcast, but the DVD cover art looks exactly like Step Up 2. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's like, everything in it is, I'm like, I actually looked at it, I'm like, is that Step Up 2?
Step Up to Make It Happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Should that be a blind buy for me, or do you think? Or
well,
just
you know,
see the screen caps and enjoy them in your own time.
Yeah, but if they're moving,
You know, if you bought it, Josh, I'll tell you what. Like, if you ever have the chance to meet her, you should be like, "Here, I bought this the day it came out as a blind buy. Will you please sign this? Because you know you're the only one who's going to buy that movie.
You're going to see me on Tuesday
and marry me.
See me on Tuesday in Best Buy holding Dark Knight and Make It Happen, going, which one should I get?
Damn it, I can't. Oh. All right, then. Okay, wow. Let's just break our brains some more. Oh, yeah, the I Am Legend prequel.
What? I didn't read this story. What do they say they're going
to
do with it?
It's essentially him trying to cure things before everyone abandons ship or dies or blah,
is that
blah,
interesting?
Blah.
Do we want to see
Thank
that?
You.
Let's, bag on, let's bag on another Will Smith movie.
Old Boy.
No. Oh, gosh.
No.
Well, I'm still waiting to see, like, because they haven't showed it to the critics yet, 7 Pounds. Like, I'm like, what is this movie going to be about? I wonder if it's
Barbara Walters has seen it, though.
Oh, she has. Did she like it? Did Babs enjoy it?
Well, he's one of her 10 most interesting people of 2008. I'll let you guess.
Oh, wow.
Wait, did I tell you this? Oh, go ahead, Ethan.
Oh, sorry, I just said you're talking about that Baba Wawa thing. I saw that, and they had Tom Cruise on. I'm surprised they didn't mention Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
Huh. Okay.
Because nobody's seen Valkyrie yet, but everybody's seen Tropic Thunder. I'm surprised you wouldn't mention that.
Okay, interesting.
Huh. Tom Cruise is too good to talk about that role. did I tell you I saw Will Smith in Denver? Like 2 weeks ago?
No.
So I was... because
like, you didn't mention this story?
No, well, I haven't been on the podcast in like two... Since the Coldplay concert. Oh, right, was awesome. Okay. So I was going up to Denver to see Coldplay, and we went to Dave & Buster's.
Yeah.
And we pull up, and they had this big van for seven pounds, like a big tour van.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are they doing? So we go out of the car, and we go look, and there's like a podium and a mic, and all these people are lined up. And I'm looking in the crowd, and Will Smith's walking through the crowd.
Wow.
They had like the Denver premiere of it. Wow. Two weeks ago.
Do you know where it was?
Wow. It was up at Dave & Buster's.
Oh, at the UA, right next to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, this is really weird.
Okay.
So I saw Will Smith.
Wow. They didn't tell me.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know.
There might be a reason.
Somebody's seen it, because it was definitely a screening.
Well, I know the critics haven't seen it, though, so I guess it must have been like for select audience members or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a terrorist. I wonder if that's what the twist is, that it's like a terrorist cell. Like everybody thinks it's like something supernatural. I wonder if it's something like really, you know.
It's like V for Vendetta with Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, they're really keeping a lid on this.
Just don't understand. Sorry.
Nobody knows what this movie's about, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, as long as he releases a hit rap single for it, then I'm okay.
He needs to start doing that again.
Yeah.
Because that will make the movie so much better.
I'm not kidding. I actually literally wrote a rap for I Am Legend, and I should have sent it to him, and he could have performed it.
You should do it now.
I would love to hear that.
I wrote this like a year and a half ago.
I would love for him to have done a rap about finding a job for 2 hours.
To get paid to work for the man.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
His son could be in the song, too, and could do like... you know, background vocals or something.
There you go.
Well, Ethan, for some other time, like, could we record your I Am Legend rap and like have it on a special edition of the show? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, seriously, I'm not even kidding.
I have GarageBand, so I can lay down a beat for you. It's a fat beat.
Dude, sound wider.
Just saying.
Okay, has anyone else got any news?
No, I got nothing.
Oh. I got my the National Board of Review winners.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
And for anyone who doesn't know, this is like kind of the first precursor of Oscar season.
Yep.
And Slumdog Millionaire won Best Film. And I know Clint Eastwood won Best Actor for his movie where he yells at people.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah.
Oh, that was the John deep and the higher. Part. That was really good, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What else?
And is it Anne Hathaway for Best Actress?
That's right.
Yeah, she did, yeah. And Dark Knight was on the top 10 list, so. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No Wally?
No, it was there too, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was. Okay. Oh, Wally. Oh, bought the 3-disc. Good.
You know, despite my mixed feelings with The Dark Knight, it has to be up for Best Picture. It has to be. It is the movie of the year. Everybody saw it. Everybody loved it. It's the top grossing film, of number two of all time. It has to be up
for Best Picture. At least till January. After January, it'll probably take that top spot. Because it's getting re-released.
Oh.
In IMAX.
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you think it actually will? Do you think they'll make another couple hundred?
Do you think? Well, it has to make $80 million. Do you think it'll do
it? If they're doing it in IMAX, the tickets cost more anyway.
Well, how much did it make in IMAX already? Like $50 million, I think?
Something like that. Yeah, it really helped, I know that.
All the fanboys will go out just to crush the chick flick that is Titanic. That's my prediction.
But it's already on DVD. You really think so? I don't know. We'll see.
Because
we'll
might. I don't know.
Okay.
Make it happen on IMAX. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Josh, I need a private screening for that. I'm sorry.
No raincoats.
You can come with me, Ethan, and we can do Dutch Rudders.
I'll Google that later. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to ask.
Never mind. I'll tell you after the show.
Is that from Zach and Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I watched that, too.
Oh, you did finally see it?
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Eh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll wrap it up with this piece of news.
It's one more review.
It wasn't awful, but it wasn't amazing by a long shot.
No.
Keanu Reeves says he won't do Speed 3, but that's not the news. He is open to doing freaking Bill and Ted 3. That is the news of the week to me.
Alex Winter's got to eat, so good, good.
Well, Alex Winter's been saying for the past 5 years, hey, I want to do this. So,
I hope they do. I'd love to see it.
I like the fact that Keanu is not adverse to the idea of going back to what made him famous and what is essentially a stupid fun movie.
Yeah, as opposed to Speed 3. I'm glad he's not.
But what would they do? I mean, they did everything in the first two movies, from dying to going in back in time. Like, what more is there to do? Like, explore the cosmos? Like,
they haven't become the great founders of the future yet.
It's, although, you know, no Rufus. That is going to be sad without Rufus.
Yeah.
They're really going to have a big gap to fill there.
I think what makes me happy is that he's not like Tom Hanks, who really has pretty much forsaken his entire comedic background.
Yeah.
And it's turned into strictly drama / Da Vinci Code. And you know, he's willing to go back to what is fun and what is good and what people want to see him in.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I really like that. It gives me a little bit of respect for the guy.
Sure. And well, considering all that... Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, well, to be fair, Tom Hanks is a lot more respected as an actor than Keanu is, so...
This is true.
Like, okay. I mean, like, Tom Hanks does mostly, like, Oscar bait and Keanu.
Do you like the way... Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I mean, especially... I mean, if you look at, like, Tom Hanks' early movies, I mean, we're talking a lot of classic comedies. Look at a lot of Keanu Reeves' early movies.
Versus the Volcano, The Burbs.
Well, Splash, Bachelor Party, Dragnets, you know.
Big.
Yeah, Big, exactly. Those kind of... Yeah, where Keanu Reeves' early movies, you know, it's a mixture between, like, really, really edgy, artsy movies and some really unwatchably bad movies.
Point Break.
Point Break is awesome.
I've done that playing Gears before.
Wait, what's... I haven't seen Point Break.
When in Hot Fuzz, they talk about it too. You ever put your gun in the air and shoot in the air and yell, I've done that a couple times online. Yeah, but I understand that Tom Hanks is a more respected actor, but still...
No, you're right. You're right. Hanks is like you're absolutely right, Dave. He would never go back to... I mean, like, The Lady Killers is like the last comedy this guy has done.
You had that thing you do. And the funny thing is, when you see him interviewed, he is still very funny.
Yeah.
And it kills me. I'd love to see him try to go back to Volcano.
Yeah, he produces that stuff. I mean, he's got that movie that was at the Denver Film Fest, The Great Buck Howard, which he produced, and he's in that, and it's a very funny scene. But you're right. For the most part, he's Robert Langdon now, so...
Yeah. Dude. Okay. Shall we take a break, or do we... Yeah, that should do it. Cool. All right, we will be right back.
Hey, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Cliff.
And we're Christians. And we've been made into a stereotype of people who just don't enjoy science fiction.
Well, they're just silly.
That's right, Clifford. Because here at The Jesus Geeks, we do mix theology, our love for Jesus, and also our love for everything geeky into a fun podcast.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, it is, Clifford. And this amazing podcast can be found at www.thejesusgeeks.com. So remember, everyone, for the latest on entertainment, culture, and the geek lifestyle from a Christian point of view, tune into The Jesus Geeks.
We're the Christian missionaries to the geek culture.
Or we could be the geek missionaries to the Christian culture.
Ooh.
So remember, everyone, if you're a geek-loving Christian out there, check out The Jesus Geeks podcast at www.thejesusgeeks.com.
Well, today we're going to be looking at Terry Gilliam's The Fisher King. We're
finally
continually exploring the different works and films of Terry Gilliam, and this is one of his strangest and certainly one of his most acclaimed. It was a big hit at the box office. It was an Oscar favorite. It was an audience favorite, and it's still probably one of the definitive Terry Gilliam movies and certainly one of his most accessible films. It has a very strange history. This film was originally... it's one of these scripts that nobody knew what to do with. It is a crazy, crazy screenplay. And I'm only going to say his name once because I always get it wrong. I don't know if it's Richard LaGravanesi, but the guy who wrote The Fisher King, essentially, he's the guy who went on to direct Freedom Riders, which was good, and P.S. I Love You, which was not so good. But he wrote the screenplay for The Fisher King, and initially, it was one of these scripts that everybody got their hands on, they loved it, and they wanted to change it. There was one point, really sad, scary point, where Disney wanted to turn into a roller skating caper starring Richard Pryor. If you can imagine that, they originally wanted to make like a Holy Grail caper movie where like a bunch of homeless guys on roller skates were going to steal the Grail, and like Richard Pryor was going to be the king of the homeless people. If you can even imagine that. I'm not making this up.
I'm now useless the rest of the episode.
And isn't that terrible? But thankfully, Gilliam, they managed to just hand him the script, even after he had two flops. Certainly, the box office disappointment of Brazil, even though that was a critically acclaimed film, and then of course the box office and critical flop of the Adventures of Baron Munchausen. For years, he just couldn't get any films made after that. His name essentially was mud. The good people over at TriStar Pictures gave him the screenplay to The Fisher King, completely latched onto it. Of course, it wasn't a script that that he wrote, but it was one that was very near and dear to his heart. He certainly adapted his own sensibility, but at the same time, keeping almost, I'd say about 99% of everything that was in the original screenplay is in that movie, including the crazy, crazy amalgam of the radio DJ and the Red Knight, and even the darker elements of the homeless angle. I mean, all that stuff is it's in the screenplay. So Gilliam made this movie about a DJ played by Jeff Bridges who, due to a tragic nature, something tragic that happens to him, he leaves his job. He's miserable. He has a girlfriend played by Mercedes Rule who owns a video store. He's got nothing going on for him. And then one night he is saved from being killed from this homeless guy played by Robin Williams. And over the course of the film, not only do they become friends, but they realize they have something in common. I'm not going to give that away. But yeah, I think this is one of Gilliam's finest films. It's a very strange film, and it takes a lot of chances. There's some scenes certainly work better than others, but
the singing telegram.
It's a great scene. Michael Jeter is wonderful in this film. I love the film. I think it's a 4-star movie, but it's not for everybody, to say the very least.
It's not my favorite Gilliam film.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still goes to probably 12 Monkeys in Brazil.
Hmm.
But it's still good. I can understand why it was more critically, more widely accepted than the rest of his films.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is a comedy at heart, even though it has some really, really dark stuff and some really violent scenes too. Mercedes Rule won the Academy Award for her performance in the film and the screenplay. I don't remember if it won or not, but I know it was up for Best Original Screenplay. And Robin Williams was up for Best Actor. It was a big fat hit. It did really, really well. This is back when Robin Williams kind of went back and forth between doing great comedies and great dramas. This is back when he really had a career at that. But it's got some really extraordinary scenes in it. Of course, one of the most famous scenes in the movie is where Robin Williams goes, as he calls in the movie, cloud busting, where he runs nude through Central Park. He actually did this. Robin Williams actually did this, crazily enough.
He's a very hairy man.
More like a Muppet than a man. Yeah. And Mercedes Rule won the Academy Award for performance in the movie. Really is her definitive performance. Although I love Amanda Plummer as Lydia, the girl that Robin Williams falls in love with. I love that angle of the movie. The scene where they go out to dinner at the Chinese restaurant. I think that's a great scene.
That was the scene that sold it for me, honestly.
Yeah, it's a great scene. It's a great scene. And the scene that follows, the scene which I'll describe very carefully, where Williams, essentially his madness kind of catches up with him, and he's literally chased through New York by the Red Knight. That's another scene that's both really thrilling and truly horrifying.
Yes.
Most definitely. Yeah, it's a powerful film. Some people have a hard time with the ending, the whole caper scene where Jeff Bridges' character has to go and get the Holy Grail. It's a scene that is perfect for the movie's fantasy/reality angle, but it is a little hard to swallow, admittedly so. And the movie has so many endings. It does take a little bit to wrap up.
It does, but you talk about that ending, and I want your thoughts too, Ethan, here in a sec. Sorry, we're kind of monopolizing the time. I think it was important that even Jeff Bridges realize out loud just how insane what he's doing is. So I think that's the only way that scene gets a pass at all. But what did you think about it, Ethan?
Yeah, I think it's a great movie, and I think in a lot of ways it's kind of Terry Gilliam's The Elephant Man.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's definitely more of a balance of his art house sensibilities, but it's also a very human story that mainstream audiences can see and like.
Mm-hmm. That's a good comparison, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Now Howard Stern, isn't really what he used to be, but in the sense that he's not – his image and certainly his career on Sirius Radio is not – what it used to be when he was the biggest shock jock in all of the East Coast. But when the film came out, clearly Jeff Bridges was meant to be, kind of a parody of that sort of character. And I think it's one of Jeff Bridges' finest performances. If you read the screenplay first before you see the movie like I did, I couldn't even imagine him in the role. But having seen the film, I think he is fantastic in the movie, and he and Williams are excellent. And I think this is a role where Williams is so perfectly cast because he is using his manic gift for improvisation very well, in addition to his ability to really dig deep and find some really dark and go to some really dark places.
Yeah, he's just really good in it in general. He has this very relaxed way about him that worked really well in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's funny, since we do a podcast and we run soundboards and stuff, I'm shocked at just how prehistoric the way he was doing his radio show with the sound effects and everything went. I was like, he's doing everything off tapes? And he has to know exactly where everything was. That completely as a side that no one else is going to care about. That kind of really caught me off guard.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I think they used the song "I Like New York in June" just a little too much.
Good God!
Just a little too much.
Yeah,
because I mean, the last 10 minutes of the movie, they use it three times, and then the credits roll and they play it again. It's like, okay, enough. Because the music by George Fenton is great. They should have, I think, emphasized that just a little bit more. But yeah, there's so many sequences in the film I particularly love. I love the scene where Perry, the Robin Williams character, takes Jack Lucas, the DJ, to the actual place where he thinks the Holy Grail is located. And,
yeah.
And there's that wonderful line where Robin Williams is like, who would have thought anything so divine would be in the Upper East Side? You know, there's all these wonderful little lines, some of which, you know, clearly improvised by Williams, and some are in the actual screenplay. But I think the movie works as a love story. I think it works as a fantasy. I think it in some ways works as a psychological horror film. But more than anything, it is a fairy tale. There are big allusions to Pinocchio at the beginning of the movie, and certainly, of course, to the Holy Grail legend. It fits really nicely, kind of a strange but somehow perfect double feature with Terry Gilliam's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's he couldn't have made two different movies about that subject.
Yeah.
What do you think of that train station sequence?
Oh, beautiful. Brilliant. Perfect. Yeah. I love that scene. It's great. And I even love Tom Waits, his cameo as the...
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
cool.
As the guy in the wheelchair. Yeah, great. I love his bit of dialogue there. Yeah, wonderful.
Or that scene where Lydia's, she's in the video store, and Robin, he's trying to help her, like, get the movie.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's what I liked
was that they actually did a callback to that joke at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I appreciated that. You know, it's little things like that. It's Gilliam's attention to detail that makes him so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ethan, I have a question for you. Do you think this is a good introduction to Gilliam film?
Yeah, actually, I do, because I think it still very much has his sensibilities. Like, even if I hadn't known this was a Gilliam film and I'd watched it, at the end I'd say, oh, that's Terry Gilliam, because there's so many of his type of cinematography. And
as soon as you see The Red Knight, you know.
Yeah, and like, so I think people, they'll see this, and they'll be like, they'll know if they like that kind of, you know, style. But they won't be, like, spending the whole movie being like, oh, what's this about, you know? Like, say, Brazil, or even 12 Monkeys.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I agree with Ethan. I mean, I think it is like David Lynch's The Elephant Man. You get 100 proof, the director. You get his style, his sensibility, the way he makes a film. But he is letting the story and the characters be in charge as opposed to his visual styles and tricks. So it's a film that actually has a lot of heart, and you can actually attach yourself to it. Unlike the other films, like something like, for example, Tideland, where you really have to be a diehard Terry Gilliam fan. But even then, that movie is such a challenge. And same with David Lynch. I mean, like, I really liked Inland Empire, but I'm a big David Lynch fan. You have to be a diehard David Lynch fan to sit through 3 hours of craziness. Something like The Fisher King, something like The Elephant Man. These are really examples of the directors at their best, because as opposed to being all about them, they're complementing the material instead of completely, you know, masking it with their own style.
Very true. And Josh didn't get a chance to see it. You've been working.
I've been working.
You've been busy.
You've been a busy, busy man. I just say it because, like, you've been talking and then now suddenly you're quiet. So I figured, you know, yes, he's still here.
I was catching up on the Dinosaurs finale that Ethan posted on Twitter.
I know. Isn't that, like, the saddest thing ever?
Yeah, it had subtitles, so I was reading it while you guys were talking. That's depressing. Anyway.
Okay.
The Jim Henson Show, Dinosaurs? Yeah. Oh, I remember that show.
How long was that show on for?
Series finale with them all dying from the Ice Age.
Wow. Somehow I missed that. Because I saw the last episode of Alf, where Alf goes back to Melmac. I did see that, but I didn't get to see the end of Dinosaurs.
Okay.
No, they all die.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like a dark episode?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. It's
like a bummer. Child, like, melting or something?
No, they were just all sitting around talking about...
Not to mama, not to mama!
They were sitting there talking about how they're going to die, and then the camera pulls back out the window, and then the newscaster signs off, and then it's like, goodbye, and then it, like, fades to black in
oh
the credits.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's nuts. I hate it when they do that. Like, they did the same thing with Roseanne. Like, the last season of Roseanne, the family, like, inherited $1 million and they were rich. And it turns out in the last episode that not only was it all fantasy, but that John Goodman really did die of a heart attack. It's like, holy crap. Goodbye.
Then there's the Beavis and Butthead finale that just pissed me off to no end. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't they die too?
No.
No?
I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh. Yeah, that was the thing. For, like, 3 weeks leading up to it, MTV's like, Beavis and Butthead will die. Turns out they're sitting there at home watching music videos and skip school. So the school calls to see, you know, hey, you know, we're calling the parents.
Yeah.
They're dead. And so the entire school puts up like a memorial fund and stuff. They walk in, take the money, and walk off into the sunset. That's the end of the show.
I thought that they died in a drive-by. Somebody told me that they died in a drive-by. No.
Oh, no, if only. Okay, I'm guessing we're pretty much done with the Fisher King.
I think so, yeah.
That little rabbit trail took care of that. We'll figure out another director to take up here in the next week or two.
Eli Roth.
No, I'm going to pull a veto on that one. I sat through Hostel once, and I don't need to see a second one.
But Hostel 2 is about the Bush administration.
Okay,
I'll take your word for it. That. Josh.
What?
You should write a paper on that.
I actually currently am.
Oh, whoa.
I'll send it to you.
Wow, okay.
Well, Hostel 2 and W were released by the same studio, so.
Oh, conspiracy.
Double feature.
Which was 9/11 conspiracy.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to what's hitting theaters this week.
Well, it's a busy week. In limited release, you've got a film that I really liked. It premiered at the Denver Film Festival. Well, it didn't premiere, but it showed at the Denver Film Festival. It's a great movie with Michelle Williams called Wendy and Lucy. Don't be expecting romantic comedy. It's dark stuff, but it's great stuff, and her performance is powerful. Kate Winslet in The Reader, who I heard very good things about. I'm actually going to see that tomorrow, so hopefully I'll be able to talk about it soon. Then opening wide Friday, December 12th. Keanu, Barata, Nick 2. The Day of the Earth Stood Still remade, starring Keanu Reeves and Jennifer Connelly.
And Smith. What's his name? Jaden Smith.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Jaden Smith. Yeah.
I'm depressed that I don't want to see a Jennifer Connelly movie.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, the director of The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which is not my favorite horror film, so I...
Wait, actually, Jon Hamm is in it. I have to see it.
I like John Hamm. Although I hear he only they did an interview with him and he said all he does is spit out exposition. That's like all his.
That sucks.
Yeah, poor guy. He needs a good role. He's such a good leading man. He should have been cast as Klaatu.
Okay.
I could have seen that.
Don Knotts could have been cast as Klaatu and it would have been more fun.
I would have loved that. Don Knotts.
As long as Tim Conway's in there too, they're playing Gort and Klaatu, it's all good. No idea where that came from, sorry.
That would have been interesting. Kind of like the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah, that's where I was going, yeah.
Very good. A movie that's a few years old and for some reason it's just getting released, Delgo. This is an animated film. Remember, you guys seen this trailer? Jennifer Love Hewitt, for some reason, that's the only voice I can remember that's in this movie. Jennifer Love Hewitt and a bunch of other celebrities that normally could never open a movie. They're starring in Delgo, this animated film. Does not look very good at all.
No. Okay.
And then finally in wide, Nothing Like the Holidays. Last Christmas you had This Christmas, which was an all-African-American film, basically going for a very specific so-called urban holiday crowd, and this is an all Latina cast, including John Leguizamo and Luis Guzman.
I think Quint over at Ain't It Cool saw it and said it was absolutely amazing.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
good, because it looked it. Because I love the cast, but I wasn't sure if it was any good. Very cool. And then in limited release, which means it opened two theaters and everybody else get to see it in February. Steven Soderbergh's Shay released. It's first they're going through this thing where it's like a tent show thing where they're taking it city to city and it's the 4.5 hour version and eventually they'll release part one and part two separately in different theaters. So
okay,
that's a lot of Shay. That's a lot of Benicio. And then Doubt, starring Meryl Streep, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Amy Adams. That's powerful stuff. I like Amy Adams. And then Clint Eastwood in Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino.
What were you calling it? Clint Eastwood's Get Off My Lawn?
The movie, yeah.
It's like Grumpy Old Men 3, essentially.
The trailer looks so bad.
Yeah, I have to see the movie to understand. Like, even Variety gave it a very positive review. I don't see it from the trailer, but, you know, it's just a trailer.
He's probably going to win an Oscar for it, too, so it's like...
I understand... I remember when they didn't give him the Oscar for Unforgiven, and a lot of people said there's no way they were going to give Dirty Harry an Academy Award for Best Actor. But for this, because, I mean, let's face it, Clint Eastwood is always a great movie star, but as an actor, not always, you know, and he's a better director than he is an actor. He really is.
People are saying this is going to be like his True Grit, you know, for John Wayne.
Ah, because that wasn't even Wayne's best movie. The Shootist was Wayne's best movie. Man.
Well.
Well, especially, and you've got a lot of really strong leading actor performances, too.
Yes.
And, I mean, I have a hard time thinking that he could probably top Mickey Rourke.
Mm. Yeah, no kidding.
Just thinking about the range of the two actors in general.
Mm-hmm.
What about Sean Penn?
Yeah, yeah, Sean Penn and Milk, yeah, really. Or Brad Pitt and Benjamin Button, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, and I just don't...
Or Mark Wahlberg in The Happening.
Ray Stevenson in Punisher 3.
Hey, Tree.
You know, I think he should get an Oscar just for actually going through being in that movie.
For doing that, and yeah. Mark and Max Payne in the same year.
So he's going to be Halle Berry, the Catwoman year at the Razzies, isn't he?
You know, I got to say, though, that took guts to go on Saturday Night Live and spoof himself. Yeah. That was great. I really did appreciate that because it showed that he did actually have a sense of humor about that.
Still.
Yeah.
Still did Max Payne.
It's been a bad year for Wahlberg. Bad year for Marky Mark.
Well, he's had a few because, you know, then he had Shooter. And yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to DVDs.
Planet of the Apes.
Oh. Okay, yeah, DVDs, there's good stuff coming.
December 16th, available in regular edition, special edition, 2-disc, 3-disc, 1-disc, no disc, full screen, widescreen, your screen, my screen, and Blu-ray, Mamma Mia. And The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Also, not only is it coming out by itself, but also in the Mummy trilogy. So now you can own The Mummy Returns, and The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Three quality classic American movies.
Or I can just swallow two $20 bills and get my money back a couple hours later.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
Then, speaking of quality, although I gotta say, I like The Mummy. I like the first one a lot, actually.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm talking about, like, trying to buy all of them together again. I already own the first two. I don't need
it. Yeah, you don't need it.
And I own the Scorpion King. It came in the trilogy thing.
The Legacy.
I didn't own the other two. Yeah, so I was like, it was only $12. I'll buy the first two, deal. And it'll come with Scorpion King, which is a great movie.
As your defense, I was going to say, like, it came with a Criterion or something.
Oh, no.
It's like the Good Burger 4-disc Criterion that keeps getting joked about.
Scorpion King is a great drinking movie, like, to drink and watch.
Okay.
Do you take a shot whenever he takes off a shirt, or when he puts on a shirt?
I think it was every time, I don't know, something like that. So I don't know if I've actually ever seen it. Anyway.
Like House of the Dead, whenever they do a zombie does something they can't do, you take a shot and you're done in a half hour.
All right. Speaking of crap, Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea.
Did we already get a Little Mermaid 2 title? I thought we did,
but no, it says Little Mermaid 2. It's Meet Ariel's Daughter.
Is that like Meet the Fockers, but...
I guess.
With fins.
Gills, yeah.
It's Meet the Parents meets Splash.
Okay, well, it gets better here. We got Aqua Teen Hunger Force Volume 6.
Yay!
Very good.
Yay.
And a movie that Dave and I really liked a lot. This is, I think, one of the finest thrillers of the year. Traitor with Don Cheadle. That's coming on DVD. Also in Blue Disc. Petticoat Junction Season 1.
Ooh, okay, whatever.
And then the Disney 3 Movie Collection. That's the original Peter Pan, along with the sequel, Return to Neverland, and Tinkerbell. And Stinkerbell, yeah. So get it for one movie, and the others make very nice coasters and holiday tree decorations.
This season of Aqua Teen is cool because it's got, like, I think it's like 10 episodes of the season and then 4 episodes that never aired.
Oh, cool.
That were supposed to air. And the first 3 episodes are so funny. Like, the Shake, Frylock, and Meatwad aren't even in it. It's like they got kidnapped by their landlord for not paying the gas bill, and their landlord is actually Mokula, who's like this really old vampire. And so Carl's trying to, like, rent their house. I don't know. It's funny. If you like the show,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
Yeah. I'm still getting caught up on The Office, so.
Oh. I'll let you borrow some seasons. I don't know if you'd like it or not. You bought the movie, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was just for the opening.
Oh, yeah.
I started watching the movie. I'm like, what? No.
Because there are some actually really funny, like, episodes of Aqua Teen that I showed Barry, right? And you thought they were funny?
Yeah, I thought they're great. I like the show.
Did you show him the hand banana one?
No, I haven't showed him that one yet. That's a classic.
Okay. Yeah, I got too much TV to get caught up on right now.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's about it this week, huh?
I think cool. So.
Ethan, thank you for joining us, sir. Oh, absolutely. We'll try to have you on a little bit more often and such. And, if you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. Hit us at podcast, Ethan, Barry, Josh, or Dave at ScreenGeeks.com. Did I say podcast at ScreenGeeks.com, too? Whichever. If I didn't, email us. But until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Josh.
Ethan.
Take it easy.